Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 168. Now, much different from last week where we had a full table, all sorts of people. This week, a little pared down. We're just getting to the heart of the matter.
Simply the best.
Exactly. So we've dispatched some people. Some people are away on business. Some people are at karate tournaments.
It was very nice of Adam's nephew to take him to his karate tournament.
Yes. Hopefully he'll be able to defend himself soon, you know, from all the bullies.
Cobra Kai.
Stealing his lunch money.
All the girls from Little Jim.
Yeah. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Josh.
And that's it. So, it's a small group. Hopefully it'll be a little more coherent than usual.
Doubtful, but we can...
You know, somebody's not going to get us off on tangents about video games. And
Dave's sitting right here.
I'm sorry.
I had a whole spiel prepared about Super Mario, but I'll let it go.
So, but first things first, Saturday's Free Comic Book Day, so please come down. I put a picture on Facebook of all my books. So far, I do have more coming tomorrow, and there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of great sales.
I keep ordering and ordering and ordering, so I have enough to give away, so... Hopefully it's not too much.
But. How much Free Comic Book Day stuff do you end up with normally?
At the end? Yeah. It's very little, but it's funny. Like last year I got cleaned out of everything except for the Red Giant little four packs and the Valiant stuff. Like it was like people were avoiding it like the plague, which struck me as really weird. It's free, you know, and you're not even taking it. But... I mean, it varies as I'm checking stuff in. Like, there's some books I only ordered 30 of, but it's because it's promoting something. You know, it's probably like 39 cents a piece. It's promoting something I'm not going to sell. So it's like, it's kind of hard. You know, yeah. I don't want to spend a lot of money on something that's.
Yeah, because remember, it does cost retailers money to.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buy these books. I'm probably around about $2,000 right now on Free Comic Book Day books. So, but I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to give them away. Where a bulk of my money goes isn't just the Free Comic Book Day stuff, but I order in a ton extra of those dollar books. Like Marvel's been putting out the True Believers dollar books for the, like reprinting the first issue of Secret Wars and Age of Ultron, Civil War, Miles Morales, all that stuff. DC for years has kept the first issues of Sandman and Dark Knight Returns and all that stuff in print. So I have...
Even a lot of their New 52 books they had.
You know what? I didn't order those this year because it just seemed... Batman was sold out, so I could have gotten like Superman, Green Lantern, and Wonder Woman. But I didn't know if that was really relevant anymore. Like Sandman is kind of timeless. V for Vendetta, Watchmen. That stuff I do. I did a ton of the Image stuff. It's not so much the older stuff, like getting more Invincible Ones didn't make a sense, especially because I ordered a ton of that Invincible Quarter book to put out. So that seemed a better thing to spend money on. Revival, Saga, you know, all that. I did go Walking Dead, but that's one that's a perennial.
Yeah.
So I got a ton of that stuff in. Plus, there's 50 different Free Comic Book Day books. I still have to read them all. Just to be able to grade them because they're
still
not all...
read all mine from the past 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I read them not, I mean, not to go, hey, this is great, but more one has a decapitation, one has an F-bomb. You know, I have to catch all that stuff because if it otherwise it's fine, but I miss that F-bomb and I put it in the PG section, well, you know, not good. If it's in the R section and Timmy grabs it, I'm sorry, but I know I did what I could. Yeah. So. But, yeah, lots of stuff. Sales, I posted the sale on the website. I'm not really planning on tweaking it. The only thing that might get tweaked is I'm not sure what I'm putting outside on the tables on the sidewalk. So that might change. It's more whatever's easiest to do because it's one of those things I got to do kind of quickly Saturday morning. One huge benefit this year is normally there's a Magic release on Friday where the new set comes out, and so they're here playing Magic till midnight, 1 a.m. and I have to come back and then get set up after that. So I'm, you know, setting up at 3 a.m. not, you know, the best. And then I have to come back at 7 to put the stuff outside to get ready. So I'm pretty spent when the day starts. So I'm really thankful. I'm just going to stay late Friday, get everything set up, go home, hopefully like around 10, go to bed, come up in the morning. So,
do they not do the Magic tournaments?
They changed the schedule, so the release actually was last month.
Oh.
So there's no new set, and I asked them if they'd take the day off. Mm. So they wouldn't. They're not doing it this week.
Okay.
So giving me a break, because, yeah, for the last 8 years, there's been the new Magic set, which has just been not cool.
You should write to Wizards of
they
the Coast.
They don't care.
Inform them.
Like, they don't know. Day. Free Comic Book Day has always been the same day. What is this, like the 12th year or something?
You want these impassioned letters
even
from
more?
Retailers, though.
You know what they want from retailers?
Money.
You got it. Look at you. You're figuring this out. It's all business. It's a scam. It's a profit deal.
Money speaks volumes, Dave.
It makes yeah. The, I heard it makes the world go round.
The world's flat, true. Dave. What are you talking about?
What?
Santa would know. So, yes, please come down. Because, yeah, like I said, I have more than enough stuff to give away, and I really don't want anything left at the end. If you can't make it down Saturday, I do leave it up Sunday, so the sale will continue Sunday. The stuff won't be outside, but in whatever Free Comic Book Day books I have, will still be
all
on the table.
All the good stuff will be gone, so get here Saturday.
Well, yeah, you know, it goes. It's not unlimited.
Especially the always popular statue sale.
Yes, which I do based on how many birthdays they've had here. So newer stuff isn't on sale as much as the stuff that, you know, you've seen for a while. And this time I'll probably price it to make sure it leaves.
There's some pretty steep discounts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you know, there's some books I've had here. I mean, there's some statues I've had here since before I expanded.
Yeah.
So, you know, things that have been here for 5 years, yeah, they need to
leave.
They need to leave.
And if you hurry down, don't have time to eat lunch, there'll be hot dogs and Rita's Ice.
There will. Hot dogs early afternoon, Rita's Ice later. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to fly, but... Because my son has a baseball game, I think, at 10 or noon, and then my daughter has a softball game at 4, so my wife can't, and kids can't be here all day doing stuff. So hot dogs, well, they'll last as long as they can. Sandy, thank goodness, actually kept track last year of how much we went through, mm-hmm. because I sold through and they had to run to Giant Eagle numerous times, so I'm going to try to pre-buy, and I think it's something like 300 hot dogs I need to get. So
that's one of the things, if you buy too many, freeze them and keep them
for yeah. Yeah, but when you're standing there buying them, you're like, I can't possibly need more than this, you know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they come in, yeah, we're out of hot dogs. It's like, what? Yeah. So.
It's a combo crowd, too.
It is. It is. It is. And I'm going to give away a secret to all the podcasters or the people that are listening. I get them at Sam's Club, and they're really not that expensive because they are the big, you know, big all beef. You know, really, they're good hot dogs. But they don't really cost that much. So. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. So it's like a 36 pack is like $6.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, but people are like, oh, these got to be like $2 a piece. It's like, trust me. I like you guys a lot, but yeah, I'm not spending $500 on free food to give away. No offense.
Here's free comics and free food.
Yeah. Please buy something to help me pay for all this. So, but it should be fun. It's fun every year. Last year, I think adding the second cash register helped enormously. There were not the long lines that we've had in years past. And this year, I'm going to make it even a little bit easier because I got smart, and it was really dumb. My wife is a therapist and was trying to figure out of the, like, the coal miners down in West Virginia get an allowance for their medical, but it's on a card, you know, like how a lot of people get paid via a debit card type of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how their healthcare was, and she had no way to take a credit card. And I didn't know this. She never mentioned it. And part of, she was wondering if she could do it here, but then she's like, no, I can't, because it's going to show up on their statement as buying comics, mm-hmm. which doesn't work. And I'm like, well, get a Square. Because, you know, I've known about them for years. And she's like, oh, yeah. I you know, she had no idea. So we went through and she got it. And it's great. You know, she's now getting, like, one guy owed her like $600 but had no way of paying her. So that's worked out great for her. And I kind of had one of those head slap moments going, well, geez, I had the credit card last time, but it was cash only. I can just plug it into my phone or my mini and have it, them do credit cards there as well. And so.
You could have paid her through PayPal.
I think there was something like that where she could set up a PayPal account and stuff, but I'm like, well, why don't you just do a Square, you know, nice and easy. Oh, you have a card? Okay, boom.
Not that that mattered to your, what you're saying at all.
Yeah. No, I hear you. But this way, so at the register, we can also do credit cards this year. So, yeah, hopefully we'll, I don't want to say I'll get you in and out quickly, but I know there's a couple of years ago, it was like a 45-minute wait. You know, I'm and I was going fast as I could.
Quickly, so that way they can continue to look around and see if they want to buy something else.
Well, it also used to be when they were in the line, they were standing amongst all the merchandise looking, going, you know, seeing stuff. But
yeah.
I love the line, but I realize I don't want to make people wait. But it is kind of nice looking up and going, holy cow, at least people want to give me their money.
Yeah, like, I hate, you know, waiting in a long line at a register, but Free Comic Book Day is never that bad because what you just said, you're sitting there browsing as you're waiting in line, so there's all the merchants right there as well.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm, you know, making conversation and stuff half the time. I wasn't even looking up. It was just, you know, by the end of the day, all I'd seen was, you know, credit cards.
People are trying to suck you into conversations.
Yeah. And you know, I try to move them along.
Behind them.
Yeah, there's one guy every Wednesday comes on his lunch hour and tries to and just keeps talking. And even as I'm ringing up people, it's like, come on, not now. You know, you want to talk? Come back Thursday. I'll talk to you for hours, but not right now. Not trying to be mean, just. But
hope you're listening, Adam.
Yeah, tell me about it. He won't listen to this. So that's it for Free Comic Day. Please come down. Like I said, there's going to be plenty of food. Actually, I have to. Giant Eagle's having a sale on Coke, and I have to stop there on the way home because it ends today. And that's why I was texting my wife. I'm like, oh, I got to swing and get that on the way home because, you know, buy two, get one free. You know. When you're giving it away, you don't want to pass that up.
Well, you have to make sure people know that what you're giving away isn't out of
the. Yeah, no, not out of the. Not the stuff I paid a lot of money for out of the cooler. This is just the cans that'll be outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, but please come down. Lots of free stuff, but, you know, lots of sales. Doing the buy two, get one free on the trades, and people really like that one.
That's really good. And a lot of good trades just came out, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff. You know, two new Batman, Walking Dead just came out. I just got them fully restocked on
volume two.
Next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I saw it on Comic Book Roundup is today.
Well, maybe they're wrong. Sorry, Josh.
You just shot a hole in my...
Well, I can't sell you something that doesn't exist yet.
It exists.
Because, yeah, I even highlighted it, but that's showing next week for Southern Bastards.
It'll be worth the wait, Josh.
Yeah,
okay.
But you can't get it on sale.
Oh, sale, perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect time to get the full Walking Dead.
Sorry.
Yeah, someone out there should get the full Walking Dead. Someone not in this red chair right now.
Just saying. Just offering. It's an opportunity.
Unless you want the whole Walking Dead.
No, Santa, I can't sell that to Santa. Like Dave buys enough questionable stuff that I feel bad selling him, so.
I see.
I'm going to talk about Archie versus Predator.
There you go. Good. I didn't get a chance to read that.
That was horrible.
Horrible?
Well, it was good, but there's some. It's disturbing.
I don't think I've ever heard you say a book was horrible before.
No, I said it's Sirens number one.
No, yeah, you did not like that.
Yeah, like that book at all.
It's funny. They just came out. There was something, I think, in the last previews. It was like a portfolio edition or a black and white edition of it. And I'm just like, no, after the way you guys talked about it, there's no way I'm ordering that.
I don't want to go back to that. But
okay,
man,
we won't. It was just funny when I saw that. I'm just like,
don't make him relive those memories.
No,
I'm reliving it. I got a headache. I got a massive headache after four pages of that book. My apologies, Mr. Perez.
But in lieu of Pat not being here, Josh grabbed the bull by the horns, apparently had a very busy day at the office, and put together some news.
Colin sent me a very impassioned Twitter message about how we had to be prepared.
He said, Pat and Adam won't be here. Make sure you have something to talk about.
But it's our news. I even sent it to you, though.
Yes, you did. So. Well, now I can log in. Oh, hi, Max. I missed my dope. So let me see that. It only took me, 45 minutes to download the program to be able to see your note?
I thought it was making it easier. Sorry. I will use pen and paper next time.
No, it's okay.
But then you don't get the fancy pictures.
It's okay. There we go. I'm pulling it up right now. I want to look at this note, please. Yes, thank you.
So the first thing...
It's Home Alone.
Derailed.
Right down on the cord. Sorry, I just don't want any more people coming in interrupting. There you go.
So the first thing, we forgot to mention it last week, so this came out early last week, but Valiant, I mean, we heard about...
Is that all you talk about? I did say it was going to be an all Valiant podcast. I do believe that was one tweet to you.
Fine, I will not talk about this.
No, no, it's okay.
So Valiant, we heard they had this big, you know, movie deal.
I thought it was with China or something.
Well, China is bankrolling it, but okay. Sony is producing it.
Okay, okay, because I'm like some Chinese, you know, it made me start thinking of Bollywood and things like that.
No, they're the same company that Marvel worked with for Iron Man 3 as well.
Okay.
I think the same company.
Oh, no. Sorry, personal dislike of them.
I don't think all their movies are going to be with Sony. Just these five, because there's also another movie. We'll get to that. So
okay.
They announced a five-picture deal with Sony that is going to focus around Bloodshot and Harbinger. So it's supposed to be starting in 2017. I think Bloodshot is kicking it off, and there'll be two Bloodshot movies, two Harbinger movies, and then from what I read, it's going to culminate into the Harbinger Wars
okay.
movie, which was the event there where you saw the Harbinger side and Bloodshot come head.
I think that works, especially because Bloodshot and Harbinger are fairly unique characters.
Yeah.
Not that Exo Manowar isn't unique, but I think there's so many comparisons to Iron Man, and even
yeah.
in Arrow where you have the Atom,
mm-hmm.
I think establishing their universe first and then introducing him in later,
yeah.
I think will help them greatly. So yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
I just think Bloodshot, for it to be successful, they have to make him a deeper character, because on the surface he comes across as just like a less emotional Punisher,
yeah.
almost.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for it. The Bloodshot directors, they got the two guys that did John Wick, which is, I haven't seen it, but I've heard
mm-hmm.
it's one of the best action movies in years. Mm. So that sounds like good news.
Well, I'm going to hold out hope that Blood Squirt is in it.
We'll get to, I read that, so I'll add my, not review, but I did get a chance to sit down and read that.
We were talking that number 5 of Bloodshot Reborn is going to be a Blood Squirt issue. Jeff Lemire.
That works.
Announced.
But it's funny, because it's something almost Deadpool-ish,
yeah.
but it works.
Mm-hmm.
It,
yeah.
you guys were absolutely right that
yeah.
it totally works.
And then also they have Matthew Vaughn is one of the producers, I believe, or a consultant with this, who did... Kick-Ass, and didn't he do X-Men
First Class.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
for some reason, I was thinking some bad... He's not the one that did Honey... Oh, what was that movie?
I Shrunk the Kids?
No, no. Shoot, it was one movie that was like all female action, and people said it was just boring as heck. Or was that Snyder? Was that Zack Snyder?
That was Zack Snyder did the punch. Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch, that's what I was thinking.
Zack Snyder is... I still think he's a weird choice for DC to make their,
mm-hmm.
their Joss Whedon, because
yeah.
he has had a very mixed bag of movies
yeah.
throughout his career. But it's a different story.
Okay, sorry.
But no, I think Valiant, they're really like making a solid effort with this by getting
mm-hmm.
some, you know, solid names.
And a plan. It looks like they have
a plan
instead
yeah.
of, oh, let's see how this first one does.
And
okay.
And not just like doing everything, but they're looking at, we have this, you know, big event that was very successful and was popular, focus on these two, you know, properties and building off of that. There's also supposedly a Shadow Man movie that's been in the works for a little while that Jay Michael.
That could be interesting, especially depending on what they
writing.
Do. Because I remember Ennis did that long ago.
Yeah.
For Acclaim.
Yeah, for the game and everything.
Well, the company bought Valiant
yeah.
at that time, which led to a lot of the legal wrangling.
Issues, yeah.
So that could be cool.
But I don't know if that's attached to a studio yet. The last I heard is just that JMS was writing it, so but nothing new there. So next thing, what'd you guys think about Jared Leto's Joker reveal?
Well,
I mean,
it looks fine.
I've seen it. Yeah,
it looks fine. And then you know all the tattoos, and you know one of the questions that came up is how could you tattoo the Joker?
Unless he was tattooed before he.
But it doesn't make sense. What's tattooed on him doesn't make sense unless he was a
Joker. I'm just glad it says he has a damaged tattoo at the top, because
mm.
I would not know that he was damaged.
But then what I did, I also read...
I think that was sarcasm.
Yeah, the director said that the tattoos aren't going to be in the movie.
Can I tell you, when you started
yeah.
to say that, I thought you were serious, that you were having about the damaged tattoo. And I'm thinking, oh man, I have never disagreed with anyone here as much as I do
right
now.
That was sarcasm.
But they did. I read something where the director said that that's not going to be. Yeah. He's not going to be tattooed in the movie. That was just for the photo shoot.
That's a wow. People didn't like that, so we're just going to say that he's not going to have all this. If that was the case, if they said, if they truly said this is just going to be for the photo shoot, what a dumb idea! Like your movie universe has been scrutinized so much already. We're only one movie in. And the trailer did not, it didn't do anything crazy. Like, people weren't in love with this Batman vs. Superman trailer. And even the Suicide Squad movie is getting a lot of, like, you know, because there's, about the casting, and then also with, you know, Will Smith.
It's not the one where there's so many characters in it. Like, just, Batman vs. Superman has all these characters,
too. Why would you do anything that wouldn't showcase what you're doing in the best light possible? I don't know. But I'm happy to hear if that's the case.
Well, there's a story in the Hollywood Reporter today or yesterday about just about how DC seems to be having problems with their movies and how they for the Wonder Woman movie they I think they one and
five
it was Wonder Woman
people
five
writing it compete for the job
five people competing for the
and no tiger
for the screenplay exactly
that's still a big. I think it's up in the air is the screenplay for Wonder Woman, and then Aquaman is delayed, I guess, I heard.
No, I didn't hear that.
I heard Aquaman might have some delays to it.
But I think the problem they're having is Marvel Studios was able to go ahead and do their stuff without Disney overseeing and saying, oh, do this, do that, what about this? And I think where the DC movies has the Warner Brothers behind it. I think they even said that was a problem with Green Lantern, is all of a sudden all these people started getting their fingers in and made the story go ways that
Marvel
they didn't want
Marvel
to.
Marvel seems to have like a guy, Kevin Feige, who's kind of
and that's what I saw. He said they don't, the guys like that don't grow on trees.
Yeah.
So, but they don't have an overseer
a very
of that.
Line. They're like, figs don't grow on trees because Kevin Feige's figs.
But I think the problem all of a sudden when you have a corporate thing. I think that's part of the things that are starting to concern us as retailers is some of the DC stuff we're seeing is now incentive-wise is more corporate-based than where you had Bob Wayne going, what'll help the stores, what'll make this work better in the stores. All of a sudden, then we got this new one for the June books, and all of a sudden it was very what will help us move more books, not so much what will help us. And that's very scary, but I'm hoping things settle down now once everybody gets out to New York or out to California and they can kind of say, no, we need to do it this way as opposed to the corporation kind of going.
I hope because the other way can go is DC is becoming more ingrained into the corporation.
Right. But could be. But if the movies don't take off, the publishing aspect is what they have to. Yeah. Make sure it's solid, whereas in the other end, Marvel, I don't know. The problem I have there is the comic guys are taking great solace in how well the movies are doing when there's really nothing corresponding. Yeah. So, but they can look at that as, oh, we're making all this money on this. Whatever they want to do with the comics is fine. Where I hope, DC keeps going, we need to make sure this stays strong.
It's odd because the television shows just are so great and have such a good vision, and are streamlined. And
Well, you also have to remember you had Arrow and then Flash is a spinoff of Arrow, and I'm sure there's a lot of the same people involved. So you have core people working on the same books.
The producers branch out into a lot of those other shows, the DC stuff like that. Was it Andrew Kreisberg?
Kreisberg and Guggenheim.
Greg Berlanti.
They're involved with Flash, Arrow. Are they involved with iZombie too?
I don't know about that, but iZombie has the Veronica Mars people behind it, so Rob they kind of had their formula, and it's really the same formula, but it's working. It's the same tone, the little bit of humor, the enough serious. So that's working. We'll see.
And they said we might see the Joker as soon as Batman versus Superman, and also. Affleck was just in Toronto, so there's rumors that also him and the Batmobile, so there's rumors that he's going to be in Suicide Squad as well.
Okay.
So the Batman vs. Superman thing, they're thinking you're going to see, the rumor is flashbacks of Jared Leto's Joker murdering Jason Todd as Robin. Yeah. So that's how we're going to see him.
That would be cool.
Some sort of flashback. I think it was Latino Review said, I could be wrong, I thought it was them though, said that there's some scene.
I don't
scene,
normally read that, I'm sorry.
It's a big movie rumor.
Okay.
They're normally right, but I was reading so much news today that I could have...
You didn't realize how much work Pat put into this every week, did you?
Yeah. But there's some scene in the movie where there's Jason Todd's Robin outfit in like a glass casket in the Batcave. So that may lead to... Some
cool.
I thought I saw something today about Jason Todd in Suicide Squad.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, there was a shot of a tombstone that we saw that ties into Batman vs. Superman that looked like it was Dick Grayson's tombstone.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a twist on it instead.
Crazy.
Some big news from
Frank Miller. Just getting back real quick, just to that stuff. As I know, a lot of people weren't super thrilled with that trailer and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I'm excited about every comic book movie. So that's all.
I'm excited for it. I really hope they do well. I think since DC has had so much scrutiny, that anything they put out publicly really needs to hit the mark.
Yeah.
And with things like that Joker picture, if they didn't intend to have him have all the tattoos,
that's something I saw somewhere.
Someone should have looked at it and said, maybe we shouldn't do that then because it's going to get so much fan uproar.
Yeah. Where I think they thought, that looks great.
Yeah, that's why I think maybe they intended to do that, and then once they saw the fan reaction, thought, maybe we need to tone
I think the Star Wars trailer had some effect on this too, because they released the Batman
same
Superman
day
a couple days after.
Yeah,
and I mean, I was on a high because of the Star Wars trailer, and I think anything would not be greeted with as much excitement.
You're right. I mean, that was a pretty pretty great trailer. But I mean, I hope it all does well. I do too. For this shared universe, and I know you didn't watch your most recent Flash.
No, well, just last night. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did you watch last night?
Yeah.
How about that one little like tease from Gideon when Barry's talking and she's like saying who he was,
a founding member of
and then he cuts her off.
Yeah.
So it's like, could we see like some sort of seeds of this in the TV universe at some point? So,
well, they zeroed in on the article and it said Green Arrow.
Yeah.
And Hot Girl and Adam.
And we've seen in previous shots of the article where it talked about, like, Wayne Tech and whatnot, so...
Yeah.
It wouldn't kill him to do a Justice League TV show. Because who knows if the movie's ever going to happen the way things are going, but I bet they could throw one together, not next fall, but probably for the fall after. You already have the Arrow, you already have the Flash, you already have Green Arrow. You already have the Atom.
I think the movie will happen regardless. I think no matter, even if these movies bomb, I think Warner Brothers will push through and continue with these movies just to not, because I don't see them wanting to admit that it didn't work, but hopefully they work out well.
But yeah, this is where they're getting so much scrutiny. Next season you introduce Hawkman and Martian Manhunter and, okay,
you don't have to have, like, the main...
No. How about Justice League JLI? It doesn't have... If you don't want to use Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, which I understand, there's certainly plenty you could go with without that. Or why not do a Superman? It doesn't have to be Henry. Henry, guess what? You got the big screen. We're going to give, and Ralph would be sitting there going, God.
As much as I don't like him, it would be kind of funny if we saw Tom Welling...
Yeah, perfect.
He brought back.
I would love that.
And
that'd
say
be awesome.
That's the same universe.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Moving on.
So Frank Miller made a big announcement the other day. Some love it, some hate it.
Was he drunk or not? Oh, I'm sorry, Frank, but you do have a reputation.
He's not listening to the podcast.
No, he's not.
He's not our listener.
No.
Good try, though.
I wish. I like him a lot. I used to like him a lot. Well, I still like him. He's not a bad guy.
So this is something that's been rumored for like a year now.
Yeah.
And not the writers I was expecting, but Frank Miller announced The Dark Knight Returns 3, The Master Race.
And Snyder had been attached to it somehow.
Yeah, I thought for sure that was going to be Frank Miller and Snyder, but it's going to be Frank Miller and Brian Azzarello, which Azzarello is great.
Yeah.
you know, I think it'll be, I want to say, I was about to say, I think it'll be a great book, but the second book wasn't great, so maybe not. But I
no, well, the second book kind of got way off track, because you have to remember 9/11 happened in the middle of the second book, and he kind of went off, and it lost focus and went a different way, and it was only three issues, so it's a little hard to go a different way. So, yeah, I think the second one was interesting, but had a lot of problems. If Frank's drawing it, or is he just writing it? No, that's right. You said no artist yet.
Yeah.
Because I love Frank's art when it's good. No, I did not like the Holy Terror.
He has some medical
art.
Issues right now, so he's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, just looking at that Dark Knight picture right there, it's like, oh.
It's great. That Dark Knight image is great. Apparently, the original name.
I heard it was even was offensive.
Or it wasn't offensive, but it was confusing. It was supposed to, from what I heard, it was supposed to be Batman and Superman versus the Master Race, but Warner Brothers nixed it because they didn't want it to be confusing with Batman versus
Superman. But they do have the Superman logo in the image.
Yeah. So. Sorry, I didn't. I just copied.
I don't care. I just accidentally touched it. That's
I thought you were trying to get it bigger.
No, I just accidentally touched it.
But yeah, 8 issues, twice a month. And
what? Not yearly, like the last one? Okay.
No, the Marvel approach.
Yeah. It's coming out faster than you can read it.
And that's supposed to be starting in fall of 2015.
Ooh.
Wow.
Oh, okay. So that's even quicker than I expected. Wonderful.
Coming out pretty soon. So I'm curious. Nothing else to be a...
Okay, Marvel, nice... you're relaunching all your titles. We're going to throw a Dark Knight at you. And I see a lot of people going, eh, but there's still going to be a lot of people going...
Oh, no. Every single person saying, eh, or saying gonna it's going to suck is still going to buy it.
Because anybody that read Dark Knight Returns, which, trust me, I've sold a crap ton load of that trade, will be back for it. Maybe not number two, not Strikes, but...
No matter how bad you think it's going to be,
you're
going to
read
yourself.
It. Yeah.
Spider-Man film?
Mm-hmm. That's a terrible name. I really hope they don't use that, because it makes no sense whatsoever.
It is a bad name. There was a leak to what the possible Spider-Man film title might be, and this, take it with a grain of salt, but the leak was that the name might be Spider-Man the New Avenger, which, on the surface, just taking it as, you know, reading that name, it's a terrible name. But if you think about it, from Sony's standpoint, it's kind of a brilliant name, because... That will be one thing, no matter who you're marketing to, whether they follow comics news or not, will look at that and immediately think, oh, he's tied in with the Marvel movies now? This is ties into Avengers? I will go see that movie, because Amazing Spider-Man 2 is their lowest grossing Spider-Man film. They need to do something to make the, you know, normal, like, average moviegoer or, you know, casual Spider-Man fan to think this is a good reason to go back and see this movie.
I hear you.
But the name
Spider-Man
sucks.
The name sucks. Spider-Man should not be an Avenger. Like, Daredevil should not be an Avenger.
You know he
they're
will be
not,
an Avenger.
They're not that kind of character.
But you know he's going
to I be. Know, but it just, I don't
Daredevil,
like
I don't think.
Right, but I'm just saying, Spider-Man's a guy that operates on his own. He's not the guy, hey, we have an outer space threat, call Spider-Man. No, yeah. Spider-Man has such a rich rogues gallery that they can still do a ton of stuff with. A Kraven the Hunter movie. Leave it one villain. You don't need three villains per movie. Too much. One villain. But a great Kraven the Hunter, Kraven's Last Stand, you know, just that whole thing, introduce him and then have go through it. It'll be a fantastic movie. Mysterio. You know, there's just so much they could do that wouldn't be, you know, totally crazy.
Yeah.
Rhino, no. Don't want to see that again.
I agree.
Vulture. When somebody was telling me that their original plan was to have for a Vulture with John Malkovich being the Vulture, I'm like, oh my God, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
So there's so much they can do without tying him in with the Avengers.
I agree with you, but I think they have...
I see what you're saying, though. That makes sense. Yeah.
Too long to where even if they do what you're saying and do it phenomenally well, they're not going to get people to trust them and come in and see it. They need to do something to get people to... jump back on board, people that aren't, you know, comics people, and then after that they can do, you know, that normal standalone.
Better title that would get people in the theater? Maximum Carnage. You name it that, all of a sudden it's going to be a Carnage Venom movie?
Mm.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That would have everybody from the 90s. You know, that.
That would work. You'll have people saying how they botched the last Venom.
Right. Which they did, but that was because they tried to fit him in a movie that also had Sandman and the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
And not just the Green Goblin, the second Green Goblin. So. No, I hear you. But the Venom parts of that movie were my favorite parts of the movie, though. He was in there so little, though.
Yeah, I just didn't like...
Oh, no, there was so much not to like. But those parts, I thought the Venom parts were good.
Emo Peter Parker.
And
my big problem with that...
I didn't love Topher Grace as...
No, not at all. Yeah. But you can fix that. But, yeah, emo Peter Parker. I still remember when he went in and was playing the piano, I totally flashed to him doing a... standing on the tables playing the flute a la Anchorman. That's what I thought he was going. And so that's what I'm sitting while I'm watching Spider-Man thinking that. I don't think that's what they were going for.
I don't think that's what they're going for at all. I can't see him saying, let's reference this.
Yeah. Now, Asa Butterfield, good. I thought he was fantastic in Ender's Game.
He was. Like for a, and I don't know how old he is, but he played like, I don't know, you could read a ton of like emotion.
But
on
that's
face
Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah, it is. The way he was in Ender's Game, young, but yes, tons of emotion. That could be Ultimate Spider-Man, not Miles, but Ultimate
like,
Spider-Man
there,
being the
Ender's
young.
Ender's Game had a lot of like quiet moments where you knew exactly like what this kid was thinking, what was going on, and I think he would be, if that's you know, a true you know rumor, if he is the front runner for Parker, I think it's a great fit. As long as I mean, the only thing you didn't see with Ender's Game is like the quippiness
with him and
I think Sony learned their lesson with the last two movies. They need someone that can play Parker properly and also do the Spider-Man.
We haven't even seen that in the movies.
And
really,
I just watched a lot, not all of, but
a
lot
in the first, like the Sam Raimi movies. I thought, at least in the first two.
Yeah. The first Amazing Spider-Man was on TV Sunday. I don't remember. And for some reason, I was watching it. There was a lot wrong with it. But there was still... I thought Garfield did a good job being Peter Parker.
He did in that one. In the second one, he did not.
No.
I don't blame him. I blame the writers for that.
Yeah. But as I was watching, I'm like, not bad.
Yeah. Sony also is going to be doing an animated Spider-Man film that is being targeted for 2018 and written by the 21 Jump Street and Lego Movie creators. Yeah. It's supposed to be a standalone film that's not tied into the MCU.
It's not going to tie in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this will be just a standalone animated film. So that'll be interesting because I think Sony did the... I forget what the name of the Spider-Man show was. That was pretty successful. There's an animated show.
Amazing Friends?
No. Okay. It was a recent one, but I didn't watch it. I heard good things about it. But regardless, Sony was involved with a recent Spider-Man animated show that, from what I understand, did well. So we'll see. I don't know if they're planning that for 2018 when they would be planning an actual live-action Spider-Man movie then, because I don't imagine they want to have them come out the same year or close to each other.
I wouldn't think so, no.
It caused some confusion, but... Still interesting.
Those Lego guys are busy. They're like writing everything. Let's see.
In that movie, it was good, but I didn't think it was phenomenal. And they've gotten so much work from that movie.
Yeah.
It's incredible. So Daredevil officially picked up for season two.
That would have been strange if it had not been. I'm seeing stuff where they're saying how successful it was on Netflix and stuff, which I don't know how you can totally measure that, but critical acclaim and fan acclaim. So
I mean, they can measure it by the viewership.
Yeah.
I mean, they track all those metrics.
Okay.
How many hours people sat there watching it as Netflix reminded you, are you still watching?
Yeah. No, I didn't get any of those, but I love
that. That's the worst. Like, that makes you feel terrible when you're watching it and binge watching it, suddenly Netflix stops and says, are you still there? Are you breathing?
Well, see, I don't mind, because, like, some days, like, on...
A normal human shouldn't be sitting on the couch watching TV this long, so please hit a button to continue, or else we're going to call 911
for
you.
They should look into that.
Yeah.
That's probably needed.
They do that.
Does
I mean, that's a 911 thing.
Right. Because sometimes, like, here, like, if I'm doing inventory, I'll put on some show, like, I think last time I put on Arrested Development. Yeah. I've already watched, but just on in the background, I'm listening, because I'm, counting. But and then all of a sudden it'll stop and I'll have to walk over and say, yes, I know it's been 3 hours. Yes, I'm still watching.
Yeah. I was binge watching the last season of Louie over the weekend. You don't like it?
I tried to watch a couple and it just depressed me. The last one I watched was where they went to visit his grandmother and she died at the end. I'm like, ha 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 ha, that's so funny.
I mean, it's supposed to be a darker...
I know, but it was. I didn't find any funny. I found a lot...
The first season I didn't love, but after that I thought it got a lot better.
I just I haven't been...
But I was binge watching that, and each episode's only like 20 some minutes, so you get the notifications sooner. Because I think it goes on like how many you've watched or whatever. So it would pop up like, I want to watch another one, but now I feel bad that I'm
sitting here watching this. How long have I been sitting here?
Yeah. But that's 2016 release for Daredevil season 2. Did you see?
It's funny. Just finish up with Daredevil though. They keep showing the image of him in the costume, mm-hmm. and that is my least favorite image from the entire show. I hate that image. And it's like, why are you putting that on there? Because he's got the helmet on that looks like it's half an inch thick, and it's just everything looks wrong with the eyes. It just looks weird around the eyes. And
the
it's
outfit
just,
does not look great with a light.
No, like in motion and things, it looks great, but the helmet just looks big and clunky and... It makes me think of the Flash TV show back in the 90s and how, you know, it was obviously a muscle suit type of thing. It looked like a big foam thing he was wearing.
Yeah.
And that's what that helmet just is so wrong. So it's like, please get that. That shouldn't be. Go back to him tying his tie with the bruises and things.
Yeah. Did you see the video Netflix put out, the interview with... Kevin Spacey interviewing Charlie Cox.
No.
And back and forth, they're asking each other questions. It's pretty good. It's like five minutes, but
cool. We're
going back and forth interviewing about Daredevil and then asking questions about House of Cards. And it was good.
That's kind of funny.
Constantine.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. Because
whoa. So, while Colin checks to see who's calling him.
The credit card service. Yeah. I'll check just for fun.
So Constantine's renewal, we should be hearing something about it soon. Did you watch that show, Dave?
I saw a few episodes. I didn't.
You didn't love it?
I don't think I loved it. I watched the first five or episodes, and then kind of lost my attention.
See, I surprisingly loved it. I thought I would hate it. I've said this before. Like, the trailer didn't do it any justice. But the show itself, I ended up loving.
You're talking about Constantine?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, we should be hearing about its fate soon.
I feel bad I didn't rewatch it. But it's I already watched it. Why do I want to rewatch it? And it's not something I can really just have playing all day here.
Yeah, I thought about just, you know, in my office at home, setting it to play and just letting it go. But
yeah.
There was no way I could sit down and watch 13 episodes of this again.
But I did see when the guy went into the meeting, it was the number 2 trending on Twitter and things like that. So the social aspect is there.
Yeah. So on Monday, the creator, the showrunner, had a pitch meeting with NBC to talk about season 2 of Apostle Plans. And before that, he asked people to, you know, do hashtag Constantine to see if he can get it trending. Save Constantine. To see if he can get it trending, so when he went to the meeting, he could show them there are fans out there that are impassioned. And even NBC over the weekend opened up all the episodes to be streamed for free to see how many people actually, you know, would watch it and see if there was, you know, enough of a fan base there to try a season 2. And like Colin just said, it when he went in the meeting, it was number 2 trending topic on Twitter. And he said that the Marvel exec said that it went well, but
really?
That could just be...
The Marvel exec?
This is why it's Pat's news.
The NBC exec.
The NBC execs said that it went well, but that could just be blowing smoke up his ass. So.
Well, he said tell the fans.
Yeah.
So
we should, I imagine next few weeks, because it has to be in May, with it they make the announcement.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, they'll be announcing their lineups.
Yeah,
a couple weeks, I would think.
And they got to get filming for, you know, have it done for September. So hopefully, I mean, I don't know network policy and all that, but I think having any fan base is better than trying to come up with some new... I mean, that's an hour worth of programming that...
I just wonder how expensive the show is with the effects.
I don't think that's that much. I don't know if it's that much more.
I still wish there was credence to that rumor about it going to Sci-Fi and being rebranded as Hellblazer.
Yeah.
Well,
that might be you know what? We liked it. Mm-hmm. We don't like it enough for NBC, but... We'll sign you on for a season 2. We think it would work this way. And I'm sure, you know, maybe when they went into the pitch, it could be, here's our pitch. if you want it on NBC. If sci-fi, we might be able to go a little darker, a little more mystical.
Yeah.
And we could go this way. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to come out with two pitches, two ideas for them. Who knows? As long as it's on, I'm thrilled. I don't care what network it's on. I don't watch live TV.
Well, sci-fi gives them a few more liberties to...
Oh, yeah.
To be true to the Hellblazer name that NBC does. But
there was some...
NBC tried. Like, it looked like towards the halfway point of the season, they really started to try to give them the leeway to make it a darker, more mature show.
The only thing that bothered me with it was that... when they moved it from 10 to 8 and then complained that the live numbers weren't good. And I'm like, hey, you just moved the time slot.
Yeah.
You know, people can't find it. And like I've said, my problem is I can watch it at 10. I can't watch it at 8. My 10-year-old can't sit and watch that show.
The thing is, I hate that metric, the live numbers.
Yeah.
I don't care how good the show is. I don't want to watch it live anymore. I mean, even like a show like Mad Men. I love Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
I still DVR it and watch it. I don't watch the commercials. So
where's that going?
Mad Men?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This most recent episode?
Yeah.
It kind of threw me for...
Big loop. Because you thought you had a plan. You saw what they were doing, and all of a sudden...
Because there's only...
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. There's only, what, two episodes left?
Three
episodes? Okay. Oh, yeah, they do.
Two, and then the finale.
Only two episodes left until the finale.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife was like, there's only three left. I'm like, this is before. Yeah. I'm like, no, I think there's one more, huh?
But yeah, that's throwing me off because I can't see them all just, quietly going there. And,
yeah. But, when Don was asking, what's your goal? And like Chaw or whatever his name is, that was his goal.
I could see him going there, but I can't see like Don and, Roger.
They get Coca-Cola, they get Buick,
I don't know.
Without having to start from scratch again.
If that's the case, if that's they do, I don't see that as being a proper resolution for the series.
No, I hear you. But that was, sorry.
But a show like Mad Men, I still don't watch that live.
No.
I wait and watch it.
Yep, we watch that
at least
Monday.
At least I wait 15 minutes and start to DVR and so I can skip through commercials. So at some point, I watch the commercials in Mad Men, the advertisements.
Okay.
I see about, Tinkerbell cookies.
The one thing I've loved this year is how they're a lot more swear words that they're silencing. And it's like,
that is not
just
that show. That has been a lot of shows.
Is it? Okay, because I had not noticed that before. But all of a sudden when Peggy with that lady and she just went, F-bomb, but
this
you didn't
spring,
hear it.
There have been several shows that have just, let go with the F-bomb and then,
it'll be there in the DVD.
But it just, there's silence there for a second.
Yeah. But yeah, that's twice I remember it this season, or this last part of Mad Men that I do not remember it before.
But at some point, they need to change how they gauge successful shows' ratings. The live numbers, it's becoming... Yeah.
It's a DVR world.
An antiquated metric. Yeah. And the last thing I have for news, I don't know if it really qualifies as news or not, but Hawkeye 22. So, Bleeding Cool had a thing, David...
Aja.
Aja or Aja?
I'm assuming Aja. Aja sounds funny.
We'll say David Aja revealed that his part of Hawkeye 22 has been done for over a month now. And Bleeding Cool, either they asked the question of Tom Brevoort or they just republished someone else who asked the question, but asking him, saying that Matt Fraction said his part's been done for a long time. David Aja said his part's been done for over a month, so what's with the schedule? And Brevoort kind of like had a snippy response, came back and said, the holdup is that people keep asking this question. I've been pushing it back a month each time, so I think that puts us at October now, maybe. So it seems like there's some sort of,
So he's so funny. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. You're pissing off your fans. If that's what you want to do.
Because now the book is pushed back to July.
Okay.
At this point. So the book's been done. The book's been done since, March, sometime in March. And they're pushing it back to
they
July.
Must have won, they must well, they don't want it to age like a fine.
They
wine.
Don't want it to conflict with Secret Wars.
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense, especially because the current Hawkeye seems to take place after it. In timelines, so you think you want to get it out as soon as you can, because in July it's just going to be weird at that point coming out. But and Secret Wars is still going on then, anyways, isn't it?
I know. I was kidding.
Oh. that is it for...
Well, that was a good bit of news. Good job, news. Josh. Now I'll read all your reviews. No, okay.
Go ahead.
I didn't read all the books.
Yeah, I think you said read my reviews.
Oh. Convergence 3 sucks.
You guys want to talk about books now or TV or what? Am I running things? This is your podcast.
No, that's okay. I mean, we can do a little bit of TV. iZombie, I think, has been good.
Yeah, I didn't see last night's yet.
Oh, I didn't either. I don't think I finished the week before's. Or I'm getting close. I like the idea of her having, not necessarily a boyfriend, but someone. But it's got
to
be hard because...
I think he's up to something. I don't trust him.
Oh, okay. I don't know about him. But I think it's funny that she is, what, from New Zealand, so has an accent. Mm-hmm. And has a British accent. And that's got to... I was just saying, that's got to be really hard for her to be pulling off without slipping.
Yeah. She's a pretty thicker accent too, yeah. Whenever you hear her.
I like the idea of the other corner. The one that came up was that he's a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I'm trying to think what the last one I saw was.
A werewolf in the game, right?
Right, but a werewolf in life. That was a rumor I heard. Because the book, her friends are a vampire and a werewolf.
Oh, okay.
So there's the thought that they'll be... pulling that back in, and maybe he's not a zombie, but maybe he's a vampire, the boyfriend.
I see.
So, but yeah, there's lots of ways they can go with this. Did you watch Veronica Mars?
I have, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I'm enjoying.
It's very much.
Yes, very much along this. You know, the narration, everything. Yeah. But I'm enjoying it a lot.
It's a fun show.
It's a fun hour. With enough seriousness and twists and turns.
It's fun. It has serious points. It can be a little bit. You know, maybe gruesome is not the right word, but like there's a lot of, you know, graphic things going on. So it doesn't come across. I think when I first heard Veronica Mars, I thought maybe it'd be targeted towards like a very teen audience. Uh-huh. And it could be a teen audience, but an adult could still watch it too and still enjoy it.
I think the last full one I saw was the donut guy, the guy who died, the gamer guy.
Yeah. But it's been great. The writing has been, I think, out of the three CW shows, the Arrow has the worst writing out of the three of them.
Pacing, I'm having trouble with Arrow. There's just a lot of them I'm watching just going, move on.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, get Laurel off the screen and get Detective Lance off my screen. But I did enjoy how in...
Stop talking about Felicity being a love interest for all these different characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy in... Yeah, she gets around.
It aggravates me because you had this female character who was a pretty strong female character, mm-hmm. and suddenly you made her... a love interest to Barry Allen, Oliver Queen, Adam.
Yeah, every hero, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She has a type.
But I enjoyed how in Flash they had to go to Starling City. I enjoyed that very much. I kind of enjoyed, you can't tell anybody that we found this thing, and then why? Well, here's why. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen enough weird crap. We'll let this go.
Yeah.
You should have done a better job of... burying that body, Harrison Wells's.
Yeah, well, he's rushed.
Body, I guess so.
But, Flash and Arrow have been good. I think I still need to finish last week's Arrow.
Yeah, I'm behind a couple on Arrow.
Yeah, I was getting caught up, but I don't know if I finished it. I'm about halfway through this week's Gotham. But that's been strong. I think that's been good.
Gotham's all right.
I'm enjoying it. I liked how the birth of the Riddler which kind of makes sense. I mean, you had a quirky CSI guy.
It drove me nuts that he brought the body parts.
I haven't quite finished that,
like,
but yeah.
You're telling me that he
just
walked in there with two trunks.
Yeah, no, he should have left that in the street and not worried about it.
And then
he
did it right during business hours in his...
Yeah. About where I am, where he's looking down at that, so I haven't finished that one. Yeah.
Was that on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but I'm liking the ogre thing. Although, like, were you saying about the 30 days? Somebody was saying, do we really need a 50 Shades of Grey killer?
That's Debbie and I were watching it, and she's like, whenever he finally revealed that he, mm-hmm. you know, was killing the women, Debbie's like, didn't she realize that when she saw it was kill room? Like, I don't think she thought it was a kill room. I think she thought it was like a bondage kind of mm-hmm. room and quirky rich collector.
And I
guy.
Wasn't sure when That's she looked at him if she looked at him and smiled or didn't. I wasn't sure if right before it cut to commercial if she gave him a look like, oh.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I like
He's not trying to save.
I like Selena killing the guy without even thinking twice. Yeah. I thought that was very much in character. The part where I'm right at is where he's in that guy's office. Mm-hmm. And then the guy walks in and goes, I've been expecting you since your friend stole the key. That's literally where I had to pause it, and that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know.
I'm enjoying
Gotham,
it.
I want to like a lot, but I find as I'm watching it, that's the show that I probably like the least.
Okay, I'm enjoying it. I like the Penguin
I think
stuff.
Shield is pulled ahead of it for me.
Wow, see, I'm way behind on Shield. I got to get caught
Shield
up on that.
Shield has, to binge it. And I can't even say this, it's been good the past few episodes.
Okay.
When Shield is focused, when it has some sort of threat going on, and that's what they're focused on, Shield becomes a much better show. Okay. That happened last year whenever Winter Soldier came out and was focused on the whole, you know, Hydra thing. And then now that they are trying to...
As long as,
you know,
if we can stay away from whiny Sky and...
We actually had kind of...
Relationship-confused Fitzsimmons.
Kind of a badass Sky.
Okay, good.
Those recent episodes.
Because, yeah, Sky being, oh, I'm an orphan and I want to find my parents, got really, really annoying.
Yeah. In the past, like...
She found her parents now. She's probably... She's probably hoping, wishing she didn't.
My dad was in Twin Peaks!
Get him his coffee, Diane!
My mom was on Dollhouse!
What? Okay, I never watched Dollhouse.
Oh. Yeah, her mom's.
Okay.
The actress in Dollhouse.
So.
And I think that's...
That's about it. So, books. Go, Josh. You have the most
notes.
Me?
I've been talking the whole time.
Oh, fine. I'll talk. Okay, here, I'll hit mine. Right. Dave, too bad.
Okay.
You paused. No, here, I'm going to go. Bloodshot Reborn. I know you guys already talked about it. But I wanted to grab it because I do try to read all the number ones, on believe it or not, so I can talk about them. And this was really, really interesting.
Yeah.
I'd probably read the first issue of Bloodshot. I read the first two issues of The Valiant. So that's about all I really knew about Bloodshot, but it does a great job recapping everything in the beginning here to tell you what happened. And then, yeah, basically he's just, not a bum, but just kind of nothing. He's nothing that he was, but I love...
You could tell that it's a big case of he thought like the grass was greener.
Yeah, and realized this. Not... And he's very much Frank Castle at this point. But, yeah, and then, like you guys are talking about Blood Squirt, where it's pretty much like a hallucination for him, but drawn great. But, yeah, just... And just, yeah, showing his struggle with the pills and the alcohol and...
Lemire really, like, makes you care about this
great
character.
Art on that.
And that's great. It's phenomenal.
But, yeah, I'm sorry, a motel bed's not going to be that big. So.
He's in the super
suit. Yeah, oh, sure he is. Okay. But, yeah, just really cool. Really, really good book. So.
Like I was saying last week, that Blood Squirt, it just took it to another level for me and...
But, yeah, it's not crazy Deadpool-ish. It's just basically a little bit of a hallucination for him.
Well, they are up through issue 25 in terms of, you know, story in this book. So they definitely have confidence in me sticking around. Because they're very public about that. So
that's great.
Yeah. But then Convergence-wise, Convergence 3.
Yeah,
and
so
you had better notes.
We'll go through all the Convergence stuff. So Convergence 3 was more... of the same in that not that great.
Yeah.
But
stick around.
Yeah. Today's Convergence was better. It was much better than the previous installments. So Convergence 3, you saw Thomas Wayne, Batman, and Dick Grayson meet back up with the rest of the heroes from Earth 2. One thing that immediately bothered me, it's kind of a nitpicky thing, they went...
Did he get somebody's name wrong in this one?
Okay. They got the main villain's name wrong.
Okay, what'd they call
Well,
him?
They just misspelled it. But
okay.
It's a small thing, but every single issue has had some wacky, like, mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I'm like, where's the editor at?
Yeah.
Like,
wow. That's ridiculous. if that happened, there shouldn't be those kind
they
of
got,
mistakes.
They got Dick Grayson's son's name wrong. They got Batman's costume wrong in a matter of a couple panels. Then they misspelled Telos's name. It's five letters.
That's awful.
But I didn't see any like noticeable mistakes in today's, so maybe it's a turning point. We'll see.
A turning point.
So we saw them meet back up with the Heroes of Earth 2, and the Heroes of Earth 2 were going to venture into the center of the planet with Deimos.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
who I don't, he just like showed up, what, in two or three?
Yeah, because
I'm reading four, still kind of going, who is this guy?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Maybe I was missing something. He was,
and it's like, why are you following him so blindly? He has skulls on his knees. That kind of tells me bad guy.
He's clearly up to no good.
Yeah.
So those heroes follow him into the center of the planet because he wants to show them how to beat Telos or whatever.
Which is Skartaris, which is the Warlord's book, from the book Warlord.
But Thomas Wayne says he's going to hang back and he'll join up with them later on, and Dick Grayson stays with him. They got a Batmobile from Bruce Wayne whenever they went to Gotham. The Batmobile somehow suffered a ton of damage and became inoperable, even though in the panels I didn't see how this damage happened. It just, they were flying, attacking, and suddenly they landed, and he says, it doesn't work anymore. So, okay, whatever.
Maybe it crash landed, I don't know.
I only point out,
I was very confused at that part, even though it's a weekly book, and you think I'd be able to remember week to week.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what the heck is that
thing? It seemed like it was a big thing, them getting this Batmobile, because it took out all these, you know, all of Telos's minions. And then suddenly they took it out of play instantly, just in time for all of Batman's rogues to show up, because they followed him from Gotham, even though it wasn't their Batman.
Right.
So you have all of Batman's rogues trying to kill
Professor Pig,
Joker.
Yeah, Penguin. Yeah.
Penguin, all of them.
The Joker part I enjoyed very much.
I enjoyed it, except the art didn't match what was going on in the story-wise with what happened to Dick Grayson.
Okay.
Like, they had, essentially during the fight, Dick Grayson got shot and...
Say it. Say what you want to say.
What?
He got killing joked.
Killing joked, yeah. He got Barbara Gordon'd.
There you go.
But you can't, that's not popular, you can't say that.
I know.
So you got Barbara Gordon, but my problem with the art was, in the art, like, the shot was, like, here.
Yeah.
And somehow that lodged in his spine. Well, I was pointing to my like side.
That's good. Oh, really? Yeah. They couldn't see that?
That's what I was telling them.
Yeah.
But he became paralyzed, and Batman kind of made one final play and baited all the villains to come in closer to him for a killing blow, and then he detonated explosives on himself.
What I enjoyed was Telos comes in at the end, and the Joker is going for a killing blow on Dick Grayson. And he stops him and snaps his neck, I think, and basically says, you're a parasite in every reality. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
And then Telos threatens Dick Grayson and
takes
him with him.
So even at the end, it was kind of like, I don't care. I'm not invested in this. But then, I guess we'll get to the other one. Issue four was, I thought, head and shoulders above.
Yeah, we're going to do some spoilers at the end
today. Because without, you know, since we're short a couple people.
Although we've been doing good filling up time.
Yeah.
You know, we're short.
We're very good at that.
So, a big thing that happened in Convergence 3, Kandor was defiant against Telos's game. And it looked like Telos just flat out exterminated Kandor.
Yeah, but what I enjoyed is he's like, you guys had it easy. You could have so easily won this. You're all Superman.
Yeah.
And instead you decided to, you know, be pacifists.
I wasn't sure at first if he just killed those handful of people or if it was the whole city.
Probably the whole thing.
He got rid of, but so it looks like
He does say his thing is, defy me. And
it was just funny because we've seen other cities throughout Convergence, the tie-ins, defying him. So it's kind of funny to see him instantly swoop into the most powerful city and just get rid of them, take them out of play. But it makes the rest of it more interesting, I guess. So, the Convergence tie-ins, you read Justice League of America. So that was...
It was okay. It wasn't great, but I did like it.
I thought it was one of the better ones last week. Because they came right out and addressed that the Justice League, you know, Detroit group is kind of a jokey...
Yeah.
Jokey group. But it was good. Like, they... Elongated Man wasn't really, you know, a joke in this. The rest of the team seemed like, you know...
Yeah, and you had Martian Manhunter, Aquaman.
And who was the other one of the big three? The girl.
Zatanna?
No, it wasn't Zatanna. It was the...
Vixen. And then the Gypsy Girl. Mystic or Gypsy, I think that was her name. Gypsy, Gypsy. Okay. Yeah, who Gypsy, she's like a shapeshifter or something, illusionist, yeah. something.
Because they explained
to everybody except her.
Yeah,
like they went, you know, made a point of saying this is so and so, and these are his powers, and they didn't explain her.
Yeah, because you saw the Justice League group get back together and look like this, you know, playground or gym to work out since mm-hmm. they hadn't, you know. Been in it for,
well, it explained for why, like, yeah. The Vixen didn't have her powers. Steel was on life support.
Yeah.
Because he's half robot or whatever.
So you see them, you know, trying to get back into some sort of shape for this fight. And they're talking about they have the big three that are there. And you think at first they're talking about Batman, mm-hmm. Superman,
yeah.
Wonder Woman, but it's Aquaman, Martian Manhunter, and
Zatanna. Yeah,
Gypsy.
Gypsy? I thought it was Zatanna was the third, but okay.
I don't think Zatanna was in it, was she? I could be wrong.
She was in it at one point. But then that was interesting because that went against the Tangent Universe, Secret Six or something? Yeah. Which was just, you know.
Secret Seven.
The problem with this is it's where what we need in the back besides the hero.
Is the villain.
Is the villains. Because yeah. With the Parallax one, I had no idea who. It was Lady Quark from Crisis on Infinite Earths, and I'm like, well, that's fantastic, except I read that in issues 30 years ago. I don't remember these, you know, people.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
So, no, I thought that one was good. The one fun part with all this is we're getting to the number twos next week, that's so we're going to start really seeing some of the resolutions and at least get an idea of where this is going.
If you're not reading all of these books, then it's not really an issue, but with, you know, you and I, you're not reading all of them.
I'm taking them home.
If you're reading all of them, the formula gets a little tiring. So issue number two should, I think, break from.
Yeah, you're not going to have the little speech and stuff.
Adventures of Superman, focused on Superman and Supergirl. You saw them trying to, you know, come up with a plan along with Lucius Fox, and they're in looks like a Wayne Tech facility. Where they were going to make a Phantom Zone projector and go into the Phantom Zone and then try and exit out of the Phantom Zone somewhere outside of the dome as a way to, you know, get out of the dome and see if they can get rid of it. But as soon as they go into the dome or go into the Phantom Zone, then that's when Telos does his thing and the dome comes up anyways. But they're already trapped in there. And they're going up against all of these, you know, prisoners of the Phantom Zone that harbor bad feelings against them for being trapped in the first place. And we see a lot of Kryptonians ganging up on Superman and Supergirl. Supergirl flees while Superman is getting taken down by these guys, and she ends up seeing visions of what happens to her during Infinite Crisis of her... of her death. But it was good. It was a fun issue. Not a whole lot happened with it, but it was interesting seeing it really directly tie into, you know, the Infinite Crisis event with the visions. Batman and the Outsiders was pretty good. You got to see all the Outsiders, how they were dealing with normal life under the dome. This book was a little bit different from the other ones in that you got to see someone who actually benefited from the dome being down. So Metamorpho was the one who really didn't want the dome to go away because with the dome down, he was actually just a normal person again, could touch another human being, didn't have the toxicity. So as the dome went up and he's in the shower with his girlfriend, and suddenly he starts to turn toxic again and burns her skin, and he becomes very, you know, disfigured. You almost like feel bad for him because you can see, you know, they really developed his character throughout the whole issue. But it was good. You got a interesting look at a version of Bruce Wayne, someone who's not quite as arrogant as the Bruce Wayne that we're, you know, normally used to, and just seeing the different Outsiders who were characters I wasn't really familiar with myself, but getting an interesting look at how they've, you've been trying to help out society during the year under the dome. Flash was good. This book did a lot of character development for Flash himself, Barry Allen. So this is Barry Allen Flash, who has, for the most part, escaped to, I think, 3,000 years in the future with Iris West. Was she reincarnated, mm-hmm. I guess, in the original continuity?
No, I don't know. Because
she had died, and then she was brought back somehow.
Well, yeah, because she was from the future.
Yeah.
So,
but he came back to the present day to give some sort of, it was either a conference or give some sort of speech or whatever, and that's when he got trapped there. So, you saw him initially as he's trying to just, like, clear his head. He's running in the park, and some, you know, random woman just outpaces him as he's running in the parks. So then he's sitting down at a, looks like a cafe, you know, table with Bruce Wayne, talking about how, you know, now he can't even keep up with people that are, you know, running just casually in the park. But then whenever he finally gets his powers back, the way, and I forget who the artist was on it, but the way it was drawn, like, I don't know, it had a lot of impact as you saw him running, and suddenly he gets his super speed back, and he goes from normal running to Flash running, and then activates, you know, his ring to get the suit back on. It was a good, you know, Barry Allen story with, you know, the Barry Allen, like, internal dialogue worked out. Green Lantern Corps was a very much a Guy Gardner book, and you got to see post-coma Guy Gardner look like he was a, you know, gym teacher.
Mm-hmm. That's what he originally was, yeah.
So he's with these kids, and the kids are all debating who they're going to be. They're playing superheroes and villains. And the one kid says he's going to be Sinestro. And as soon as he says Sinestro, like, it gives Guy an anxiety attack. And you see that he's been seeing Dr. Tompkins to talk about his issues with Hal Jordan, since the one time he fills in for Hal Jordan is when he gets put in the coma.
Okay.
So after his meeting with Tompkins, you see Tompkins is talking to some mysterious person about Guy Gardner. And Guy Gardner's off on this mission to try and find John Stewart and Hal Jordan to see what's going on. And it's before the dome went down, but he just wants to see. Actually, I don't remember what his exact motivation was to try and find Hal Jordan in the first place. He has this big, you know, vendetta or chip on his shoulder with Hal Jordan, and Hal Jordan just kind of disappeared once the dome went down in the first place. But he finds Stewart, and Stewart leads him to Jordan. You find out that Jordan's been trying to build something that would allow them to send a signal through the dome and communicate outside of the dome that they're in. And as soon as Gardner sees that, he just destroys, like, Hal Jordan says essentially his life work. And since Hal Jordan destroyed Guy Gardner's life, Gardner just demolishes everything in there. And at that point, that's when the dome goes up, and they all think they're going to be lanterns again. Gardner goes to power up his ring with Hal Jordan's battery, and Jordan stops him and says, I already got you put in a coma once. I'm not going to let you get hurt again. John Stewart and I will be the lanterns and handle this fight, and they leave him behind. Mm-hmm. But then he suits up and gets on a motorcycle and goes off on his own. So it was good.
It'll be Warrior.
Hawkman was all right. It was a more of a Hawk Girl book or Hawk Woman book than Hawkman, but you saw them working the museum. They reveal who they are whenever they kind of get in trouble for disappearing the museum, and whenever they find out that the attendance at the museum has been lower, so they reveal their identities, and suddenly spikes the museum attendance, and they found out there's sleeper cells of other people from, how do you pronounce their planet? Thanagar. From Thanagar on, or in that city, that have been operating there, trying to find a way to get out of the dome. But it was a good book. I mean, I'm not terribly familiar with Hawkman or Hawkwoman, but still, it was enjoyable. New Teen Titans. There wasn't a whole lot worth mentioning with this book. They were going up against a version of the Doom Patrol, but it doesn't look like either team was trying to take out the other team, but they were both after the same thing. The only thing that really, like, stuck out with me with this book, on the cover, do you see how Cyborg was drawn on the cover of that book?
No, I can't see it.
He looks like he's wearing fishnets and a garter belt.
Sweet! Or not fishnets,
but, like, leggings and a garter belt.
Oh, no, I gotta look.
Grab it. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, what?
It's second to the, yeah.
There, I'll get it.
You get it, dude.
It was just really weird.
Those creepy old men can't get up. We've been sitting too long.
He was drawn this way throughout the whole book.
Is that you at home, grab your copy. Well,
is that New Teen Titans? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what's I see the, what you're saying. That's funny. That's funny.
Look at the picture on the cover of that.
Yeah, just it does look like a garter. Yeah.
It looks like he's wearing a garter belt and thigh highs.
Yeah.
And he's drawn that way throughout the whole issue. And I'm looking at is he transgender? Is he a cross dresser?
Well, you gotta keep the leg attached somehow.
Yeah.
That one little strip is gonna but it was all right. It was it's nothing special, but that one thing stood out to me. Superboy and the Legion. It was all right. Superboy's 1,000 years.
That's weird. Nicholas Scott drawing it. So.
Yeah.
Big collar Nightwing, too. I like that.
Was that how he was drawn back in?
I don't remember specifically.
Because maybe she just stuck true to that. Superboy's 1,000 years in the future. That's a book, I think, if you're a fan of those characters, then it would make more sense or be more enjoyable. I mean, it wasn't bad, but there's nothing that really stuck out to me. Swamp Thing? You read Swamp Thing?
I did. I thought I liked Swamp Thing a lot.
I liked that a lot. I liked how they gave you a quick origin for Swamp Thing, and this isn't the Alec Holland Swamp Thing. This is the Alec Holland got blown up, so they decided to try and...
Well, I mean, it incorporated...
they tried to make one that thinks he's...
Well, that's from Alan Moore.
Yeah.
And he basically did that. I just thought the art was just fantastic. Kelly Jones, just a knockout on Swamp Thing. I was reading some stuff about it. It was interesting how he had the ears early on, and that's how Bernie Wrightson first drew him. And they said basically that was like a total... They were going to look for the Bernie Wrightson page because that looked exactly like a Bernie Wrightson. But, they love the ears. But what I love, as soon as the dome goes up, all of a sudden he loses his connection to the green.
Yeah.
And he's basically slowly dying through the whole thing. And then I like how when the dome goes up, all of a sudden his reconnection, and he's just like, he screams in pain, and he's like, believe it or not, I've never felt better. And then at the end, I don't even know who the bad guys are, but the bad guys show up. But, I remember looking back at the... Maybe it's Red Rain universe.
Yeah, Red Rain was in Wonder Woman.
Okay. But I thought the art on that was just really good. Really... I mean, it's Len Wein who created Swamp Thing. So he definitely went back in. But definitely also incorporated Alan Moore's take and stuff. So that one I enjoyed a whole lot.
It was probably one of my favorites from last week. I really enjoyed the day to that quick origin in the beginning before jumping into the whole... What's going on now in the Dome? Dome thing, which for a book like Swamp Thing, I think
you probably not everybody
that are familiar with that than other characters, so it's good to do. And then Wonder Woman for
Adam said that was his favorite.
Really? It was good. I liked that you saw her still like being this powerful, like badass character even without her abilities. She goes to like she's helping out this woman, and I don't know if she was like a social worker or whatnot in this current continuity, but she's helping out this woman, taking her to church, even though she has some sort of illness and shouldn't be leaving the house, but they take her to this church, and you get an idea that there's some sort of cult going on where they are waiting for these angels to come and save them in the domed city. And while they're there, the people that are, essentially in charge of the cult find out that Wonder Woman doesn't, believe or speaks against what they're saying, and they see that she has her costume in her bag, and they knock her out and take her down to, like, the bowels of this church, and it looks like they're going to torture her. And as they do all that, that's when the dome comes up. The only thing I didn't like is, it didn't come up, that's when Telos started talking. What I didn't like was Telos gave a speech and the dome didn't come up right away, because he gave his speech and that's when they knocked her out. And I'm thinking, well, if he gave a speech and the dome came up, why was she able to be knocked out by some hit from a normal human? But then the dome came up a little bit later on and you had the Red Rain universe was going up against them. So they came in and brutally killed the cult members. And they were about to kill Steve Trevor, and the other woman, Etta, I can't remember what her last name was, whenever Wonder Woman finally, you know, regains her consciousness and comes to save them with her full Wonder Woman uniform on. The only thing I didn't care for is how they had her get back in her uniform, because it looked like, and maybe I missed something, but it looked like her outfit she was wearing just got like torn apart, and she was wearing it underneath, but you already saw it in the bag, in her bag earlier, so you knew she wasn't wearing it at that point. But that's a minor thing. But it was a good book. The art in that one was pretty great compared to some of the other books. And that's Convergence. It's tiring going through all the Convergence.
Over here, I'll take over.
There's just so many of them.
Yeah. Well, there's 11 a week.
And it's hard to keep track of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all new X-Men, number 40, the Iceman issue, which there really wasn't too much to it. It's post Black Vortex, and basically just they're back on Earth and kind of, yay, we're back on Earth. Kitty Pryde's not there because of what happened in Black Vortex, and Ileana is taking charge of them. And then basically there's just a conversation between Iceman and Jean Grey, and she's read his mind and says, hey, you know, you're gay. And we have about 8 pages of that, and there's a little bit of just some really awkward art.
It's a weird face.
Yeah, it's a very weird face. But X-23 and Young Angel are apparently dating. Young Angel got new fancy wings through Black Vortex. But, yeah, just a little bit of them. It was very much a, high school drama episode. And then at the very end, it shows someone else has moved into Utopia off of San Francisco where the X-Men used to live. And it's revealed it's the Utopians, who are some old X-Men characters. One of the Morlocks. You got Douglock. Elixir, the healer. Boom Boom. Random, the guy whose hands turn into shotguns. The guy with the computers. Sorry, from not that long ago. And that's Karma.
Madison Jeffries.
Madison Jeffries, there we go. And then Karma from the New Mutants. So, to be continued. But how long is this going to be continued with everything going into Secret Wars and Bendis leaving the X-Books? So yeah. I'm not sure exactly where this book, how long it's going to go. That's what I read this one this morning, actually. It was Kaptara, new Chip Zdarsky book.
Heard good things about it.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. It was funny because it did not sell. And the art's a little wonky, not bad, just, I want to say definitely Image, more of an Image feel. But basically it's this, the spaceship crew going off to do something. Each one has their own job. They don't get along all that well. And they get sucked into this, I don't know, not a black hole, but this thing. It smashes the ship. They all got to eject. They end up down on the planet Kaptara. They don't know that, but they land. Two of them land, and you know, one guy doesn't make it. He dies in his... the big, muscly guy, of course, dies in the pod. But they land, and two of them are attacked, and the one guy is like, ah, you know, it's my job to be safe, you know, to deal well, be calm in these bad situations and things. And so he's protecting this other guy, and things don't go very well for him. And then the other guy is saved. So you have one crew member still left from this original crew that you know of. The others might be around, we just haven't seen them. But it turns out he was saved, and there's these, you know, this king and queen, and there's all these people living on this planet. They just happen to be in the, but it was a great name. Where did they find? The Murder Forest is where they had landed. He's like, wow, you could have put up signs. Oh, yeah, signs would have been nice. And it turns out this one arch enemy of the one guy is the cause of this black hole type thing, and he's going to take care of it. So, yeah, I mean, it interesting. Yeah, it was fun. It definitely a thicker issue now that I look at it. That was a big thick issue for 350. The Image does that a lot.
There was a preview at the end of Descender for it. Okay. I read it. It was good.
Yeah, it was fun. But yeah, sadly, not a lot has moved. But it was a fun book if you want to give it a shot.
I think if Convergence wasn't happening, I wasn't buying all those books, That would have been one that I bought and checked out. But
it'll be there when Convergence is over.
Along with all the brand new number
ones. The other thing I read was Black Vortex, the finale of that, which, it was supposed to have this big grand finale thing, and it was kind of, the big finale was Star-Lord proposed to Kitty Pryde. And Kitty Pryde accepted the cosmic change from the Black Vortex, so now she has some sort of cosmic power that they haven't explained fully yet. But it looks like this one's going to be continued in Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, in one of the Secret Wars books. So, whether that's a Secret Wars title, or if it's actually continuing from this, or it's not, different reality, I don't know yet. So that was basically that. So that's all I have from last week. Dave?
Let me start with Hulk. Hulk number 15.
You love your Hulk.
Do you love the Hulk?
Can I tell you, you make me wish that I didn't jump off of Hulk. Because I jumped off of Hulk after number 4, which was the last of Wade's.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know, I kind of got...
Right, I forgot he started this run.
Wade's run kind of jaded me, because it started off strong and got pretty weak. So after that, when he was done, I saw it as a good point to jump off the book. But hearing you talk about it, and hearing other people talk about it, and actually I listened to a podcast, a gaming podcast that has Jerry Duggan on this episode, hearing him talk about it, like, made me wish that I stuck around for
his it's been a lot story. Of fun. It's, I guess the run's called the Omega Hulk.
Yeah, so I might pick it up and trade once it comes out.
And this is the penultimate issue.
Penultimate.
Because I think the last issue is next week. But this is the big, finally we get the fight between Doc Green and Red Hulk. This is pretty much what the whole run has been building up to, I think. So it's
Banner versus Ross.
Banner versus Ross. And this is, I think at the end of the previous issue, you know, he was, Red Hulk hit Doc Green so hard he turned into Banner mid-flight. But, of course, you know, Banner turns back into Hulk before he hits the ground. So, man, this is
the first that you've seen Banner in this, like,
pretty run? Much, yeah. Yeah, Doc Green, he's been keeping him inside him and won't let him out so he doesn't ruin his plans.
Is Doc Green a villain?
Not anymore. He's kind of seen the error. The last couple issues, he's seen the error of his ways. Even though he still wants to depower these gamma heroes.
Yeah.
But so there was a good fight. This was a knockdown, drag out fight, and the tremors are felt pretty much all over the world. There's like little scenes of the tremors being felt in different countries, and so finally he does cure the Red Hulk. He changes back into Thunderbolt Ross, and of course the army shows up and they arrest Ross for desertion. And at the end, the Doc Green, he goes and meets the Avengers. There's a lot of Avengers there, and he tells them he's dying. And it ends on that cliffhanger. And a lot of loose ends, hopefully be all wrapped up next week, because he's still worried about. He sent.
They always wrap up all the loose ends.
And I have no worries about that at all.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
No need to worry.
I was worried about that.
Yeah.
Because he's still worried about Elijah, who was being sent away to this alternate universe or something, and he wants to get her back because he saw that was something wrong that he did.
Does he still have his assistants from Wade's run?
I think he did. They were working out of the Baxter building.
Okay.
And I think he did let all of them go. Mm-hmm. He like said they could leave, you know, they don't have to be serve him anymore, because he's kind of seen the error of his ways. Empire Uprising.
Okay. I'm a little annoyed about that one. Only in the sense, Empire was a book from the 90s.
Yeah.
I think it was Gorilla Comics or something. That
DC did some issues, and then Gorilla did a few. Okay. I never read the original.
Okay, I read like the first issue, but it was an early attempt at like their own publishing thing with Mark Waid.
Yeah.
So they're coming out with new stuff via IDW, but so they have. Most people haven't read it. It hasn't been around. I don't want to say 20 years, but you know, some good period of time.
I think it's been like 15 years.
Yeah, at least. And so they come out with the, you know, Empire Uprising, the sequel to it.
Yeah.
Well, the trade that they solicited at the same time is coming out next week. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, it would have been a good idea to have the trade of the old stuff come out first.
Yeah.
And then, so somebody says, oh, what's this? Oh, here's the trade of the first one. Oh, I'll try that. So I think they kind of got the cart before the horse on this. But go ahead, sorry. Right.
But it was really good. This is a world where the premise behind this is that a villain has taken over the world, kind of like a Doctor Doom type villain, but his name's Golgoth.
And he's yellow.
And he's yellow. not scared. He's not. I mean,
yellow.
He's not yellow. He's yellow.
Yeah,
he's not. So you kind of, the first few pages, you know, you get, there's a teacher's classroom, and you kind of get some background on what's going on. It's the first anniversary of the death of Golgoth's daughter, Delphi. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she died or anything.
I don't know.
You don't know that. So there, you get kind of an idea about, you know, the kind of world you're living in, because they have a moment of silence. All of the Golgoth is decreeing a moment of silence for the death of his daughter, and there are just people watching, everybody everywhere, Big Brother, and there's like a couple walking down a dark alley, who knows, in some town, and they're giggling, and they say, we should be quiet, you know, it's a moment of silence, and they're taken care of right there. And you know, Golgoth has eradicated all disease, but mostly because, you know, he's killed all the people who have disease carriers and such like that. So there's some rebels. They start try to get into his lair to defeat him. But of course, they're taken care of very easily. And you get some, there's some political maneuvering of some of his ministers, prime ministers and such. They're unsure that he's hesitating about certain things, or they think that's a weakness with him. And you get the feeling that, you know, it's called Uprising, so you think something's going to happen, but I don't think it's going to come from within Golgoth or the people there. It's not going to be someone who overtakes him through force or something. But it was really good. It's by Mark Waid and Barry Kitson on art. He always does a good job. The Black Hood.
Okay.
So I'm hearing a lot of
number
with
three.
Yes,
with that. It's
number three went downhill. So
did it?
No.
I can see
Dave following that up, though. Oh, yeah, you've been hearing good things. Yeah, no, it was terrible.
It was awful. It was Sirens, number one, awful.
Oh my God, Dave!
No, it was good.
That's
it was
podcast.
Good.
Yeah, burn it.
No, this is the last issue. The Black Hood, Greg Hettinger, who's a Philadelphia cop. He was set up. Somebody placed drugs in his apartment, and the police was there to find it. I don't know if it was Colin.
Colin's known to spike people's. That's a complete lie. Don't.
They're comics, yeah. I spike your comics.
So, I need a motion like that.
I know, but how often am I giving somebody a drink?
You put the cooler in here.
Well, yeah, they're all sealed. Factory sealed.
You have ways.
I have ways.
So he gets out. Well, he's arrested, but he gets out because he says, you know, cops don't stay in jail very long. So he gets out, he puts on the hood, and he's trying to find out what's going on? Who's setting him up? He goes around asking every criminal, "Who's above you? Who's above you?" He wants to get to the top of the food chain on this one, and it's very, you know, very dark, very gritty. It's an Archie book. There's swear words in it.
What?
I know.
That's not allowed, Dave.
And some bad swear words.
Really? Gosh darn?
Like what?
Yes.
Drat?
Yes.
Booey?
Colin, please.
I'm sorry, Dave.
Please.
I apologize.
This is a family podcast.
I know. Dave's very sensitive.
My knee beers.
Yes.
But it's cool because he's, I don't know if he's not really, I don't know if he's out to be a hero. He's, you know, he's putting on this mask and he's trying to clear his name, and he still believes in being a cop, you know, and doing that kind of stuff too. But
more like an anti-hero.
Yeah, oh, he's an anti-hero for sure. I don't know if he's an anti-hero. I'd have to think about that.
You were about to say for sure.
I know. I stopped myself. I'm never sure of myself. Okay. But it's been good. You know, Michael Gatiss does art, so it's very, very dark and gritty. It just fits the book so well. Another Archie book. Archie. This came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. You didn't mention
this. But I didn't mention this last week. Archie versus Predator.
Oh, that sounds like a fun one. It was, lighthearted romp through Riverdale?
It's a lighthearted romp. Well,
are they fighting over Betty and Veronica?
Not yet. Maybe the next issue.
Which body pieces each one gets to have?
You know what Archie wants.
This is done in the House Archie style.
But it's a Dark Horse book, which is interesting.
But it is a Dark Horse book.
Oh, it's a Dark Horse book.
It's published by Dark Horse.
Oh, I thought it was published by Archie.
Yeah. So in this book, Jughead wins a trip.
Here's Juggy.
Here's Juggy. He wins a vacation and a bag of potato chips. Spring break trip, you know, to, I don't know where they are, Mexico or some island. And they all decide to go down. He takes everyone down there.
What did Reggie do? Oh, no. Reggie's the prize of everything, right?
Reggie's just, I don't think he does anything horrible. He's just his usual awful self.
You know, I think I could kill a predator. Oh, sorry.
Well, they don't know. They're down there, and Dilton's working on the yearbook, and he decides to have a best dress contest. So Betty and Veronica, they're all getting ready for the, competing for the best dress contest, and they're being watched by the predator because there's those scenes with the, the heat vision or the infrared vision, whatever.
So while they were getting undressed, predators watching. Okay.
Very B-horror movie fashion.
But they run into Cheryl and Jason Blossom down there, and Predator ends up killing them.
Oh snap!
Like, did they say hi first?
No, and they're just like mutts.
They hang the bodies.
They hang the bodies.
Nice.
It is just, I think it's more disturbing in this
Archie style. In the Archie style, with blood dripping.
Then yeah. Carl Weathers and Schwarzenegger showed up.
Then anything.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Nice. So, of course, they're on their way back. At the end, they have their vacation. They're on their way back to Riverdale. Guess who stows away?
Predator.
I don't picture Predator as like the stowing type.
He stows away in one of their
I can't picture Predator saying, I'll hide in the trunk for a couple hours, and then I'm going to get him later on.
Well, one of the images has, I knew this was going to happen, has a Predator sharing a shake with Betty and Veronica.
Shut up.
At Pops.
Tell Dave to shut up. It's too late. I can't take it back. No take backs.
Shut up. So this, needless to say, this is like
no
one
of the presents for me this year.
This is one. This is an odd book. This was, it was,
I think we all knew it was a mean odd book before you even opened it up. If you weren't sure, though,
I wasn't sure, but I thought it could be done in a non-odd style, but it turns out really odd.
That was them thinking, like, what two polar opposite properties could we take and put together? And I can't think of a better, like, set of polar opposites than Archie.
Well, I know they did. I never read the Archie versus Archie Punisher years and years ago. But, yeah.
No, I never read that.
But, yeah, I can't think of too many more polar opposites than Archie Predator. So that's all I had.
You didn't read
Archie versus Aliens?
Oh, you know what? I didn't.
Oh. Take it away, Josh.
Sorry, Josh.
No, I don't have a lot to say about it because I thought Dave... You don't really have Lazarus. All I'll say is it wasn't my favorite issue of Lazarus, and I really like Lazarus a lot, but this one... You remember the nuns in the arc that followed the waste that were going to the...
Yeah.
What's it called? Lift?
The lift, yeah.
Yeah. So in the one kid gets taken, gets picked and ends up being with them to like study medicine or whatever. So it follows, I don't know if it's the same nuns, I think it was, follows them. You find out one of the nuns is kind of an agent for, not Hawk. What's the main, what's Forever's family's name?
Carlisle.
Yeah, Carlisle. So she's an agent and she's sent on this mission to recover this, like antidote for this virus or flu that, that Hawk looks like he might be, setting loose or developing. So you don't follow the main characters at all. And you don't have to. I mean, we had that one arc where they didn't follow at all, but this one just seems so out of left field because we had this big, you know, arc that just ended. And it kind of ended on a pretty big cliffhanger with Hawk and Carlisle, you know, possibly both being dead. And you find out that a war has broken out since then. But with it not, you know, touching up or at least showing us what's going on, you know, with those main characters all, just, I don't know. I felt myself, like, really wanting that story and not the story I had in front of me as much. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a bad story. I just, it wasn't what I wanted. I was really looking forward to seeing what was happening next with... You know, the families.
Yeah, that's always a tricky thing. They do like a one shot.
I don't know if it's a one shot. I just mean just a one. Like a complete change in
change in what it's doing because maybe he was worried people were it was
especially
know,
with
too
a book
much.
Like that where you don't have these different characters like peppered in each issue where it's like we're following Forever and her family for the most part. You know, every issue, and then suddenly it's like. We're following this other complete different person. It wasn't bad. I just didn't love it compared to other issues. I'll lock myself out. All right, so that was Lazarus. Divinity 3 came out last week, and it's 3 of 4 Valiant book. So we find out that when Divinity or Abrams, as he was known when he was still a normal human, when he was sent out into space by Russia, that he wasn't the only cosmonaut that was sent out. Like you thought he was the only one that was sent to these far reaches of the galaxy, but they actually sent 3 cosmonauts out in their own individual pods, and they were all going towards converging on the same point. They kept saying the edge of the universe, but it looks like there was some sort of anomaly that they were sending them to try and investigate it. And the anomaly looks like it was some sort of being that was out in the far reaches of space, and they all converge on it, and they all leave their pods at the same time, like a spacewalk to try and interact with this anomaly. And they even say it's something they, you know, protocol, they were never supposed to do. That's why there was 3 of them in the first place, so that was some sort of, you know, safety measures. But they all did it, and they try to interact with the anomaly, and the anomaly essentially picked Abrams to bestow these powers on. So that's when he, you know, initially gets these godlike powers and becomes Divinity and begins hurtling back towards Earth. And as he's getting back towards Earth, he's getting in range of the, like, these ghosted broadcasts from Earth again and getting caught up on all the history that's, you know, passed him by since he's been on this mission in space. So you see that in the back, you know, the flashbacks, and then you see... a continuation of the Unity team confronting him, and they come to him saying that they just want to, you know, talk to him and get an understanding of what the situation is, but he knows that they're there to try and put him down one way or the other. So it suddenly flashes to like a couple pages from the perspective of each of the different Unity team members, and you find out, like, it looks like things have jumped forward in time-wise quite a bit. And it looks kind of dire. Like, you see that they've kind of gotten their asses handed to them by Divinity. But then you find out, first from Ninjak's perspective, that really what they're seeing going on isn't actually happening, that they're in some sort of like dream world, or he is, you know, giving them some sort of forced vision to take them out of play. And Ninjak realizes it first, and through meditation is able to escape out of his, you know, dream world and try and interact with the other members of the Unity team and break them from this same trance. And from his perspective, years have gone by that he's been trying to go through and rescue all these other team members. So time has passed years for him, where in the real world it's only been, you know, moments that's gone by. So it was interesting to see these different, you know, visions and different worlds that each of the different team members have kind of like built based on what Divinity, you know, forced on them. With only one issue left, I'm really curious to see how Valiant's gonna tie it up, or what lasting impact this is gonna have on the Valiant universe. Because right now, I mean, it's very clear that this character, Divinity, is the by far the most powerful character in the Valiant universe to date. With the only other character that rival would be the immortal enemy that we just saw in the Valiant miniseries. So it really interesting to see how this ties in with the rest of the universe after it's done, and how they wrap it up. It's been a really good book, and how it, you know, is flashing back to the Cold War space race, him being a cosmonaut, and then with the current, you know, situation that my universe is going on. Ninjak 2 came out, and so far that's been, you know, a great book. I think their launch in this book has been maybe not quite as good as Bloodshot Reborn, but it's been a phenomenal launch. The second issue jumps right into him on this mission, Ninjak on this mission, where he's trying to infiltrate this like criminal organization and get to like a leadership role. So you see him throughout every, you know, panel, like you see his internal thought process and how he approaches every situation, and how he, you know, when he needs to be is like this super spy, and other times he is this vigilante is not the right word, I guess, because he's working for this larger government organization, but he really comes across as like a mashup of Bruce Wayne and James Bond and Kato, essentially. And it works, and he's a great character. And the art in this book has been really top notch. There's one scene where he, you know, with this character, he's trying to convince that he is, you know, a criminal. They go to this penthouse party, and they walk in, and it's just like zoo animals and debauchery and all this going on. The way the two, not like debauchery with the zoo animals, but like it's just this crazy lavish.
It's not Saga.
This crazy like lavish like criminal like party, and it's a great 2-page spread. And then from there, you see the guy that he's trying to convince say, what happens next is going to determine whether you are brought into the fold or if you're killed right now. You can pick anyone here. I don't care who it is, but here's a gun. Take care of him. So then you see him, like, his thought process trying to identify who, based on, like, research he did beforehand, who he should, you know, shoot, and then how he should do it without actually killing them. And then when he gets, you know, convinces them, he tries to get information he was there to gather in the first place. And you see the woman from the first issue with the, you know, red, like, razor-sharp hair is kind of like an enforcer for this guy.
Okay.
And they get, you know, kind of entangled in this big fight, falling out of the skyscraper window. But it was really good. It's been a really solid start for this series. A lot of Valiant stuff last week. Ivar Time Walker, number 4, came out last week. And this issue, it might be my favorite issue so far of this series. We don't see a whole lot of Ivar in this. In issue 3, you saw finally like sort of falling out between Ivar and his companion Neela, the scientist that he took in the first issue, or convinced her to come with him, where she finally realized that he has been lying to her about some things, and that he may not be quite, you know, who he says he is, or his motivations might not be quite what he says they are. And she realizes that he is lying about the fact that the universe won't let you change things. So in the first couple issues, in the first issue, she saw him showing her how everyone thinks, you know, with time travel, go back and kill Hitler, but the universe won't let it happen. It stops these big changes from actually occurring. So when she thinks he's lying, she decides to go back and try and save her father from dying, which he died when she was a kid or a teenager, because he was in a car accident. He was a cab driver, and when he was taking the surgery, the anesthetic that they used, he had an allergy to, and it's what caused him to die. So she goes to that time period, and she's trying to get to the hospital and warn them and stop this from happening, and you keep seeing, like, all these things pop up that's getting in her way and stopping. And finally, at one point, you see another character that looks like her but is wearing scrubs and is bald, and you're not really sure what's going on. But then she takes the main Neela Prime that we're following to this bar, and you just see it filled with all these other versions of her character. And at first, I thought they were, you know, different, like, versions that cross different dimensions. But as the story plays out, and she continues to try and stop her father from dying, and she's trying different plans and bouncing around through time, you see the story play out and her becoming each of these different versions of herself. So you're seeing that all these different versions were actually her from different points throughout the timeline of what she's trying to accomplish. So it was really well done how they, you know, approached this idea of time travel and how all these characters, like, fit into this overall puzzle at the end. It just, how it came together at the end was really neat. And then she finds out, like, she finally realizes that he wasn't lying. The universe is, like, stopping her from making this big change, and even that she was kind of responsible for it happening in the first place through her, you know, trying to stop it. But it was really good. Suiciders, the Vertigo book, number 3, came out last week. And this book, it's written and drawn by Lee Bermejo. I think it's written and drawn by him. It's been a really, really good book. So this book, the synopsis of it is L.A. got hit by the big quake, and half of L.A. has now been, you know, sectioned off as, like, the impoverished, you know, side of the city. Another half is the lavish, wealthy side of the city. And it's been, it looks like L.A. has seceded from the rest of the U.S. So it's its own sovereign state now. And it's following two main characters. We see in the, you know, lavish side of the city, the Saint, who is this rich, like, you know, gladiator who takes part in these, you know, very televised fights as entertainment for the rich side of the city. And Straniero, who is this guy who's kind of, you know, has a, I don't want to say shady, but we don't know a whole lot about him. He, in the first issue, he just shows up on a, you know, boat with other, you know, people trying to get to L.A., and he's in the poor side of the city, and he gets caught up with the criminal element because he wants to try and become a fighter. And he doesn't speak English, so he doesn't do a whole lot of talking in the book, but still does a good job of conveying, like, what's, you know, going on through his thought process. So we're seeing on the side with the Saint in issue number 2, he took home this reporter and slept with her, and she got up in the middle of the night and was looking around his den, and someone killed her, and you find out it was one of his, like, guards that killed her, and they're trying to cover up, and he's saying, why couldn't you just let her live? And you really find out that he's not in charge of things as much as you think he is. Like, he's really just a puppet in this grand scheme of things.
I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
I was checking the hockey score.
And Straniero goes with these, like, low-level, you know, gang guys to try and kick this shop owner out of his, like, convenience store because their boss wants to take over that property. So a big, like, bloody, you know, fight starts from that. Straniero, who you think is a good guy who's just caught up in a bad situation, after the shop owner, like, pulls out a shotgun and takes out some of the other gang members, he punches him in the face and just completely, you know, decimates this guy. And then when he goes back to the bar where he's staying at, and there's the you know, woman bartender who you get an idea is, you know, possibly some sort of, like, potential love interest down the road, and her son is in a, you know, Superman shirt, like this little kid. comes up and hands him this rag. So he's just sitting there with like bloody on his hands. Just, I don't know, the way it's drawn really conveys like a lot of, you know, emotion through that side of the story. And the side with the saint, seeing how he's, you know, in the first issue you thought he was really like this bad guy, but see now he may not be. He's just kind of in a bad situation where he's not really in control, but he doesn't want to, you know, give up everything he has. But you see him starting to question things and go against what his handlers are, which way they're trying to direct him in. And you see how brutal his handlers are, and that the person, the woman that was killed, the reporter, she actually was still alive and walked out of the house, and there were paparazzi out there trying to, you know, get some sort of shot of the saint, and she drops dead on the hood of their car, and they take pictures and speed off calling the police because they want to publish things before they call the cops. Well, the handlers show up at their house and or at the guy's house and blow a hole in the woman's head as she's talking to him, and takes out all of his stuff as well. It's just I have no idea where this book's going, but it's really, it has me sold, at least on, you know, issue to issue, the concept of it.
Do they have water in this? I was thinking, do they have water in this California? Because I could potentially see this universe happening to the real California if they run out of water in a few years.
It's like
they say they might.
I want to see what's this like situations with the rest of the country, or I guess not, they're not part of the country anymore, but it's a very, you know, unique situation with LA. And at first I thought, why isn't the rest of the US involved? Like, how are they allowed to just quarantine off this other section and make it illegal for people to go back and forth between halves of the city? But once you find out now that it's, you know, it was either removed from the US or they seceded from the US, either way, like to see its own independent, you know, state now, it makes makes a bit more sense. Mm-hmm. But it's obviously building up to some sort of, you know, confrontation where Straniero becomes one of these, you know, gladiators or suiciders, they call them. I'm not sure how they're going to get to that point or what the overall sort of look for, but the overall target for the story is going to be down the road. But it's good. The art's beautiful. The story's been engaging so far.
That's been pretty much on time too.
Which is surprising.
I know his art's really intricate.
Yeah, considering he's doing both.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Good.
You good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Two main books.
Yeah. So the option is, do you want to go on to the stuff that came out today, or do you want to hold that for next week?
It's your call, boss.
We're 2 hours in. I say we're good. We'll leave this for next week. Just so much good stuff came out this week. So
maybe I will say,
Justice League for nothing.
I know. I'm sorry.
Talk about it real quick.
I'm just joking.
I didn't know we'd go on that long. It's fantastic.
The art was phenomenal. No spoilers.
Story interesting and a great jumping on point. You don't need to know anything. I don't even think the Justice League was even in it.
They were not in it at all.
So you don't need to know anything.
If you're interested in picking up Justice League for this Dark Side War,
just a couple things. Batman wrapped up its Endgame storyline.
Phenomenal issue.
Yes.
Definitely changes things for the next issue that comes out after Convergence. Yeah.
Convergence 4 really picked things up this issue. I think Telos clarified his mission.
Yeah.
Whereas before it wasn't clear, this one...
Finally, there's some focus to what's going on.
Yeah, there's some focus, and then, I don't want to say a shock ending, but an ending that makes you go, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. Up until this point, it's just been like...
Meandering.
Just fight, because I'm telling you to fight.
Yeah.
And now you kind of see why or what's going on, so...
Yeah. The Fantastic Four ended...
Oh, no. Hope they don't die.
Superman was really good, and a good jumping on point. If you've missed the first 7 issues of this run... This is just a Romita book, but it was really good. Basically, it's his new powers in dealing with the Justice League, trying to figure out, okay, what exactly is going on here. So that was good. Avengers, the last Avengers book ever, end of an era, because in 1 month time runs out. Well, actually, next week time runs out. But I guess technically it's next month, so in 1 month. But... Yeah. So it's a big one. It's a big one. Multiversity. Yeah, that was a breeze through that piece of cake. Well, I'll be able to go on and on about that one.
Yeah, Colin gave me a list of books that he had read today.
Well, I was kind of impressed.
Books that came out today.
Well, because normally I don't read a whole, you know, I try to read a lot, but I'm just looking. That's seven books just that came out today. I read before today.
But when he said there was only three of us here, he told me some books he read and said, come early so you can read, we'll talk about some of these books. And Multiverse is one of the ones he mentioned there. And I sat down, I read Batman 40, then I read Justice League 40. And then I thought, okay, I'll read Multiversity. And I picked it up and I got half a page in, and there were people in the store talking, and it's Morrison. And I just looked across and said, yeah, this isn't happening right now. I need to be in a quiet room without anyone around me for like an hour.
Yeah. To read and reread. Yeah. And then I showed him a panel and.
Yeah. But it looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah,
it was good. I see no disruptions while I'm reading it.
Yeah, it was good. So, Free Comic Book Day, please come down Saturday. Just come get free stuff. Or buy stuff. Or do both. It's crazy.
Buy something.
Yeah.
Like even something small.
Yeah, support the store.
These books cost money.
Help me cover the hot dog cost. But that's about it.
How about next week?
You're right. Thank you, Dave. See, I'm just so eager to get out of here.
We have the launch party next.
That's true. See, next week. That's why we keep you around, Dave.
There had to be some reason.
Okay.
New previews catalog came out today.
Yes, new previews today, so we might hit that. Next week, Afterlife with Archie number 8.
Yay.
I know people are shocked. Spider-Man.
Shining covers.
Yes.
The Shining.
They're not shiny. They're referencing the movie The Shining.
Here's Juggy. Yes.
Here's Juggy.
Yes. And Amazing Spider-Man 18, which is kind of funny because after Spider-Verse, where it was bam, 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 everything Spider-Man, it's like, is this still coming out?
Well, we have the point one issues too.
Yeah, but even those, it's not nearly. It's not like every other week type thing. Well, it might be, but Ant-Man 5, just in time for the movie. No, I don't even know when the movie's coming out. But Arcadia, which is a new Boom one. Avengers Versus number 1.
Versus who?
Their greatest foes. Yes.
Wow.
Batman Earth 1 Hardcover, Volume 2. People have been asking about that. Convergence number 5. Shocking. And then we start our number 2s, which is Adam, Batgirl, Batman and Robin, Harley Quinn, Justice League, Nightwing, Oracle, Question, Speed Force, Superman, and Titans.
So many books.
Yes. Dead Drop, which is, I believe, a Valiant book.
Oh, I will be getting that. That Alish Cott is writing it. It looks...
Now, is it EXO? Because it looked like a picture of EXO on the cover, but
there's a picture of EXO on the cover, but it's multiple people from the Valiant Universe.
Okay. Descender number 3.
And I heard each issue is kind of it's all connected, but each issue is a different story.
Okay. Inhuman Annual, yay! Because Inhumans are great. Jupiter's Circle number 2. This is like remarkably fast. I guess when you don't have Frank Quietly drawing it, these come out more quickly.
How many issues were in Vintage Legacy?
5. It took a long time.
I feel like this should not be a separate book. This should just be a continuation of that.
Kanan, The Last Padawan, number 2. Old Wounds, number 2. Pat will be excited about that. That was the Pop Goes the Icon book that we both enjoyed. Operation Sin, finally wrapping up.
Yes.
Orphan Black, number 3. That one's been selling quite well. And then going back to what Dave was talking about, Secret Wars number 1 comes out next week.
Oh, wow.
You can get the 0 on Free Comic Book Day and then number 1 on Wednesday. And we will be having a party. No, we're not going to have cake at this party. That's too simple.
What are we going to have?
We're going to have, because Secret Wars is indicative of two pizzas being smashed together, we're going to have a pizza party.
Are we going to smash the pizzas?
If you'd like to, you can.
Well, that would be smashing.
Because I would suggest...
Maybe just pieces. I don't want to smash whole pizzas. That gets a little expensive.
So you should get child-sized, like personal pizzas.
Okay, okay.
And use that to represent
the smashing. Smashing, okay.
Yeah. And then have more pizzas for us to eat.
Okay.
More importantly,
yes?
There will not be brisket purchased and in this store next Wednesday. I brought this up because I think Colin's getting annoyed at all the brisket jokes.
Now I'm sad. I don't even want to be here next week now. But it was funny.
He lost his will to live.
Somebody asked me today, he's a variant guy. He likes getting the books and the variants. And he's like, oh, are there any variants for Secret Wars? So I'm like, are there any variants for Secret Wars? Why, yes, there are. There are 10 variant covers for Secret Wars number one.
Marvel loves variants.
Marvel loves variants. So, yes, we have the Bianchi connecting variant, the blank variant, the Chung variant, the Christopher action figure variant, the Connor Women of Marvel variant, the Geiss Classic variant, the Ribic promo variant, the Young variant, the Zdarsky Party sketch variant, and the Zdarsky Party variant. So,
is there a standing line variant?
No, no, that's done. I'm not still
that's
not sure.
Welcome Home.
Yeah, that was Welcome Home. Come
welcome
on.
Home. Yeah.
And then you can also, the first 50 people to come here will get the Star Wars, Secret Wars Battle Board, which is a map showing you everything that goes on. What's going on. So, yes.
I'm not
going
to be among the first 50.
Well, no, the party's starting around 6. Oh, I figured it'd be like a dinner party, you know, pizza. So it's not an all-day party.
It's the first 50 after 6?
Yes, after 6. Okay, at the party, as long as you come dressed.
As long as you come dressed for the...
Oh, you didn't need to come in costume? Your favorite Marvel superhero? No? Okay. Okay, fine. The look I just got from Josh, we're not going to do that.
I'm white Luke.
I'm gonna I can break out the Jerry
Curl. You're going to wear the... You got the tiara and the chain belt. Going to wear the open shirt. Okay.
I'm doing the Jerry Curl wig and the Beyonder.
Okay. There you go. No, you don't have to be in costume, but it would be awesome if you were. So.
Okay. Extra pizza if you're
extra, yes. You can. Yes. So there should
Whoever's the best costume can smash the personal pizza.
No, yes, can be the smasher. It would be perfect to be dressed as the Beyonder to do the smash.
Yeah. This is just
because we still don't know who's behind all this.
Yeah, who's behind this?
We don't know. We'll find out sometime. Eventually. Okay. Southern Bastards Trade Paperback Volume 2.
It's sad still over the news that that didn't come up today.
Sorry, Josh. Spider-Gwen number 4 and Spider-Woman number 7.
I think I'm with Spider-Gwen.
No. No. It's the greatest book ever.
Silk turnaround for me, but
Spider-Gwen. Oh, did it? Okay. I haven't read 3. Swords of Sorrow, which is the Gail Simone having fun with all the dynamite female characters book. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. You going to keep going with that one, Josh?
Me?
Okay. Yeah.
I have not read any of that. Thank you. That's libel right there.
Slander. Libels and
rap. Oh, that's sorry. Yeah.
Valiant Universe Handbook, 2015. Got you pegged for one of those. We Can Never Go Home, number 2. A lot of people have been asking about this because a lot of people really enjoyed number 1 because I made them read it.
But I won't
so,
go home.
No, not in this book. Wicked and Divine, number 10, which has been a wonderful, wonderful book.
Especially last issue. Uh-oh.
No, just something on my invoice that I'm like, and Wonder Woman 77 Special, number 1, which is the Linda Carter-ish Wonder Woman. So that's what we have for next week. And, okay, now, can I go to Giant Eagle to buy all the pop for Saturday? Because it's on sale, but the sale ends today.
I'm not stopping.
So I know, but that's where I have to stop. So,
okay.
How much time do I have? I have time. So, you going to make Dave say it?
Go ahead, Dave. You've been in a long
That is the podcast.
There we go. We'll talk to you next week. Maybe with more people, maybe with not. And as always, there's an open invitation. Mm-hmm. Anybody can come to the podcast. Except Matt. Right? Okay. Anybody else can come to the podcast. And, you know, it's not complicated. You don't have to read a lot. Just come and talk comics. It's fun. We're hard, not hard to get along with.
Unless you're a jerk.
Yeah.
And then we'll...
Then we make you leave, Adam.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you next week. See ya. Now back in effect. Now, put
your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that Tuesday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. With my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drift's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that Tuesday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. On these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will battle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Blob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes.